Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that we can come together today. Thank you, Lord, that as we come before you, Lord, that you're always there to minister to us. Let us give ear to ear, eyes to see, heart open to you, to receive your word and to put it to work in our lives. Because when we do that, Lord, you ensure that we have victory. You set us free. And you guide us, Lord, in the path of righteousness. Thank you for everything you have done for us, Lord, and for bringing us to the place where we are today, Lord. For we know, Lord, that you are always there with us and are always going to guide us and empower us to overcome. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, so we had to really understand one thing, and I'm going to continue on this, and I'm going to try to open our eyes to the reality of our ability to work and to function, not just in the physical, but also in the spiritual dimension. That we are spirit and were created by God in his image. That means that what he could do, he wanted us to be able to do as well. So that we can get the result that he wants us to get. Adam didn't have any problem before he fell. All the problems started when he messed it up. And he committed treason to allow the enemy to be his owner or the one controlling him. And that's when things started, and that's the way things are the way they are today. But they shouldn't be that way because Jesus came to resolve the situation. Now it's up to us, as Son of Man, to turn the things around individually for ourselves until Jesus comes back the second time. We had to have a part in this, but we are spirit. God is a spirit, and that's to our spirit that we can get in touch with them, with him, with all the spiritual dimension. And as we do that, then we are going to be operating not just here in the physical, not just in the physical world, but we are going to, God's desire, God's intention was for us to be operating on both levels. And with our spirit, we connect and communicate with the spiritual dimension and with God. You cannot connect with God in the physical. Doesn't matter how much you jump around and how you do, this is just flesh. It's with your spirit that you connect with God in spirit and in truth, not in physical activities. The physical activity can manifest some things related to that, but really, you know, God is not in the physical dimension. He's in the spiritual dimension, and we live between the two. We live in the two, and we have to understand that. Okay. And God wants a relationship with us on an ongoing basis. And you cannot relate to God in the physical because he's somewhere else. He's in the spiritual dimension. And so you have to connect with him in the spiritual dimension. We have to learn to interact and to communicate with God the way Jesus did. Jesus came to be an example to us, not to be just somebody we look at and says, well, you can never do that. No, he came limiting himself so that we could see how it's done and what we can get, so that we have understanding about to operate. You know, that's the only way that we can break through the messes in the world. You cannot do it in the flesh. You cannot do it in your own strength. You have to do it through God's power working in you. And this is what God wants to do for each person. We can have, you know, has given us the word, has given us the example through Jesus, so that we can connect with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in such a way that we are starting to operate supernaturally, not just naturally. Now, we are going to be in this world, so we are going to be some physical manifestation. But those are not the critical and most important thing. But really, you have to understand that to be able to do that, we need to depend on Him. The same way as Jesus depended on Him, and He just gave us the secret on how to achieve that. When He said, you know, I only do what I see my Father doing. See, He was connected 24/7 with the Father. And with in that connection, He got all the information and all the power and all the everything that He needed to do. All things, and this is the Bible says, you know, concerning us, that we have all things for life and godliness. So that, you know, if we got all things, what do you need? I mean, you see, even when if we start praying, Lord, do this and the other things, you know, start using what you got if you want to learn something. Otherwise, you are going to be just in religion and you're going to stay bound. You have to get to the place in which you get freedom from religious ideas that keep you bound and able to do anything. It's not that you do it in your own strength. You learn to do it in His strength the way that Jesus did. Because everything that Jesus did, He did by the power of the Holy Spirit working in Him. The same way as we have to do. And we have to learn that. Apply that. If you are a born again believer, then you are in that place. You should be in that place too. Okay. But it's very important. I've been talking about this for probably 30 years. You know, we had to have a very clear spiritual position. Okay. And understanding what that position is, you know, and what we had to do, it means that we had to make some choices. Without choices, we take no position. See, we are just wavering, pushed around by the wind, pushing around with everything that happens around us. And that's not what God wants. Okay? We have to have a spiritual position, which is a decision that we have to make. Okay? Well, probably more than one decision, but it's generally one general thing, the position that we take, we have to understand. You know, this is a conscious choice of values, judgment, and attitude that we have to take in dealing with everything that we are immersed in and we do. That's what Jesus did. He had the position, said, you know, I can do nothing myself, but I do only what the Father is doing. And He did it in faith. And that was His position. That was His attitude. And that was His choice. And that was what He valued and judged properly. And His judgment was right. And because it was right and was righteous and was the way according God wanted, you know, He achieved what He did. Okay? We can do the same. God wants us to do the same. And He is working on us. He's working on men from all this year of history up to now to get to the place in which that actually is going to happen more and more strongly and more and more fully so that we can be fully redeemed. And we can be shedding this flesh that is made to decay and take one that is not going to decay anymore. But it's not going to happen for us if we just don't have a clear position. This is a conscious choice that we have to make, not to be in the flesh, but to be in the spirit. not to be submitted to this physical body that is useless and has lots of problems, no matter how well you are, but you are actually submitted to the Word of God and the principles of God to guide you and to make the choices that you do, the decision that you make concerning practical things that you do, the way you spend your time, the way you look at things, the way you look at life, the way you act and you do and you behave and what you expect, what you believe. Okay. See, it's very clear. We have to recognize that out of that decision, that position that we have to be in the flesh or the spirit, everything changes. And that has to be a clear decision that we make. Because if we don't make a clear decision, we are not positioned, and that's the position, you know, we are not positioned to be able to know where to go, to choose between things, different things. Okay? And we have to have the understanding, so we need the Word to guide us into that. But the thing is, you know, that's where this starts. But, you know, just the Word by itself, you can know the Bible by heart. Go to your thinking and get nowhere. You have to be connected with God, with the Holy Spirit, to actually understand anything there. Okay? I mean, the Old Testament people were connected to the Word. They were reading the Word. They were studying the Word. Did it get them saved? No. It was just because of Jesus, what Jesus did, that they could get anywhere. We need to understand that. See, Romans 8:8 says, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I mean, that's pretty clear. If you are in the flesh, if you choose to stay in the flesh, and that's what really we have to, you know, it's not so difficult to understand what it means, but really, you know, flesh is carnal or whatever it is. Okay, that means it are ruled by the circumstances, by the world around you, and by your emotions and feelings. If you are ruled by your emotions and feelings, you cannot please God. Is that clear? I mean, that makes a really clear distinction when you are, you know, being in any place, if you let your feelings, your emotions, and your circumstances control you, that means that you are walking in the flesh. You are in the flesh. And if you are in the flesh, you cannot please God. I didn't say that. God says that in His Word. And if you cannot please God, that means you don't have any faith. Hello? Because by faith is the only way to please God is by faith. So if you cannot please God when you are in the flesh, that means you have no faith, you are flesh. You're thinking. Are you following what I'm saying? So you had to make that decision not to walk in the flesh, but to walk in the Spirit. And the only way to walk in the Spirit is that you had to walk according to the Word. The Word is Spirit. Okay. And we'll continue here. Verse 9. Romans 8:9. Okay. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. That's a pretty strong statement, okay? You are not in the flesh if the Spirit of God is in you. That means if you are in the flesh, that means the Spirit of God is not in you. I mean, this is very clear separation. You cannot walk in the flesh and have the Spirit of God inside you. You cannot have faith. You cannot please God. So don't expect to get anywhere. But when you understand that and you make the choice to walk according to the Word, then God is going to be in you because you are going to be walking in the Spirit because you believe and you stand on what the Word says and you are acting according instead of acting according to the circumstances and the situation you're in and responding to that. Are you still with me? See, that's something that you had to do, God is not going to do it. But God is going to communicate with you because you are there in the Word and you are open to God and you are receiving God. We are going to see much more about that too. But this is important because you can stay in religion for all your life and you think that you are going to do something and you get nowhere absolutely. Because you're still bound by your feelings and the circumstances, and you end up doing things according to what's going on there instead of doing things according to what the Word says that you should experience. So that's important for us to understand, okay? But, okay, if you are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, that means, you know, you're not going to at that position, he is not you are, he is not his. That means, you know, he's not, you are not in Christ. And so you cannot expect the results that the Bible talks about if you go by your feelings. And that changes everything. Okay? We have to be ruled by the Word of God. How do you do that? Be ruled by the Word of God. Well, there is a simple way to do that. You have to focus on it, look at it, instead of looking at the circumstances and the situation you are in and the way you feel about it. You just start getting so much into the Word that you forget about the other part. You know, if you are attracted by what your feelings are, what your senses tell you, you are going to stay there all the time. You are not going to have victory. You are not going to manifest the supernatural because you are living down here. You have to learn to live up there already. We saw before how Jesus lived on both dimensions at the same time. But the critical position that we have is the one up there. That's why we are born from high. We are not born from low. And so we have to be starting to operate that way if we want to get heavenly results, supernatural results. We are not going to get supernatural results if you are going by the feelings that you have. No matter how good and excited are, because, you know, that could be just flesh. And often is. Praise the Lord. All right, so ruled by the Word of God and the Spirit, in that case, dwells in you. And so you are his. If you are ruled by the flesh, then, you know, you are not in the Spirit of Christ, you are not in Christ, and you are, you know, rule and continue to rule by the circumstances and your emotions, and you're going to just mess it up all the time. That's the way it is. Continuing, Romans 8:10 says, if Christ is in you, now, it means, you know, that means you have made those choices. We are going to, you know, do in a certain direction. Then in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. You see, in that situation, when you are in that place, when you are, okay, if Christ is in you, and this is when it is, the anointing and the power of God is in you, the body is dead. That means the body is not ruling you anymore. That's what it means. You're still going around, so you're not dead, evidently. He's talking about spiritually. Okay, but the body has no power to control you. Because the life of God, Christ in you, the power that is in the Spirit, is overwhelming me more and more able to, you know, the other thing is dead compared to that. So if you want to not to make that choice and go by the death part, well, that means that you are not really, you know, in Christ. You are not spending time enough in him. You are not are focused on the wrong thing. You are not taking that position. See, that position makes the difference. You have to be strong in your position. You have to know where you stand. You have to know what agree with the Word of God. You have to know what the Word of God says. And you're going to be that way, even if your word, the body says, and everybody else, it doesn't matter who. says the opposite. And your reaction is when they say something, you can tell them in their face, you're wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. God knows much better. He's been around longer than you. That's the position we had to take, and we had to not to budge from there. You know, people think, I shall not be moved, and then they move all over the place. You know, you actually had to do that. You stay there and say, you know, try to get me moving. Okay? And you don't budge. Okay. Why? Because, you know, the body is dead because of sin. It's dead because it's disconnected with God, so there is no life of God. See, the life of God, that's what we get. Yeah? But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. See, as, you know, because we are right standing with God, we are doing the things that God wants us to do, we are in the right position with God, before God, and automatically in that case, life is going to fill us up because Christ is in us, because His Spirit is in us. And we have to understand what that means, because, you know, really, sometimes we just talk about terms without figuring out what the implication of those things are. And we had to really grasp that, you know, not just superficially, but, you know, having a revelation, because this is spiritual stuff and you cannot really understand it fully mentally. You had to have a revelation from the Holy Spirit about what that means practically for you in your life, the way you walk, the way, you know, operates inside you. Okay. But your spirit, in your spirit is going to be life, the life of God. Now, eternal life. I mean, everybody thinks they know something they're going to get when they're dead. Eternal life, you get it now, otherwise you can get it then. And there are some enormous implications if you have eternal life. Impact on even everything in you and around you. Jesus had life, and that wasn't just life that he was alive like you. You know, he was alive because he had the life of God inside himself, and he didn't have only life of God without himself. He had enough life of God within himself that he could give it to others. Okay? Well, it's exactly the same. Whatever you receive, you can give, and you should give, because the more you give, the more you get. We need to get the life, to experience the life of God, and then we had to, you know, if you really got it, you are not going to grab it for yourself, because you are going to have, you know, the life of God is as big as God. That means there's going to be no enough space inside you to keep it in. Now, so the body is dead. If the body is alive and lift up his head, kill it off. And how you do kill it off? You just focus on the Word. Stay in Him. Allow God to be in you by giving attention to Him, not to your situation, not to your senses, not to your feelings, not to your flesh, not to any, your emotion, not to whatever people say around you. You go by what God, the Holy Spirit, and the Word says. And God is going to be in you to perform what He said we should experience. That's what the Word says. And that's what it says. Romans, the following verse, Romans 8:11. Everybody quotes that, but they don't quote the verses that come before. So, you know, then verse 8:11 doesn't work because the other part is missing. You need the, you know, you cannot take scriptures in isolation. You have to take them in combination with the scripture that are all around and all the other scripture in the world. And there says, you know, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, in that condition, then He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. He's not talking about the give life to your glorified bodies. He's talking about the mortal body. That means it's working right here, right now. Says, you know, through the Spirit who dwells in you. It dwells in you now and manifests itself now in your mortal body. That means it quickens you. You know, affects you physically. You know, you can see it sometimes very easy. You know, you can be exhausted, tired, you know, just sleepy or whatever. And you start preaching the word, you wake up and you become in fire. And all the tiredness, all the weakness, all the pains, all the problems go away. And by the time you finish, if you were sick, you were healed. Because why? Because the life of God has been operating inside you. You know, people should pray 24/7 and they would be never sick. Well, one doesn't even need to pray, just connect. Okay, but sometimes when you speak the word, you know, it's working inside you and you connect better than when you just do nothing and falling asleep. But we have to learn to meditate the word so that that's going to work. But you see, what I'm saying to you, you know, if the Spirit of Christ is in you, then he's going to be manifesting supernatural power in your life on your mortal body so that your mortal body is going to have stuff that is going to be supernatural going in. And that means, you know, things like strength, healing, life, faith, peace, victory, you know, healing. Because life, the life of God, is working. And is stronger than all these physical, weakly things. Now, I believe partially lots of people are going to experience that. Okay. The point is, God doesn't want us to experience it partially. God wants to experience it fully. He wants us to start living with this life inside us the way Jesus lived with this life inside him. He had life energy. You know, when he was tired at the well with the woman, there at the well in Samaria, you know, the apostles, you know, the disciple went to get some food, you know, and they came back and he found him in warm, you know, turned on and I energetic and everything else. And said, you know, where did you get your food? And she said, you don't know what the food I have. The food I have is to do the work of my Father. See, when you come and do the work of the Father, the life of God is operating inside you and by itself is having a physical effect of even in your mortal body that, you know, can't do anything else but to receive. Because you are not there thinking about, well, I'm tired now. You don't have the time to think. Nonsense. You start thinking the truth, that you are a spiritual being in contact with the Father, and just by just reality operating in you, functioning in you. You know, if you put your fingers on the, you know, on the electrical outlet, you know, you don't need to do very much. You know, the electricity goes through. Now you have it inside. The Spirit of God is inside you. You don't need to, you know, it's all over you. Praise the Lord. See, but that is, you know, you must choose what you want. No, that doesn't mean that you have to go around always pumped up and running and jumping and everything, be full energetic. I mean, Jesus was getting tired too. I mean, when he met the woman at the well, he was tired. He was sitting there and he wasn't really in the best mood to preach or to minister. But did he go by that? Or did he go by the moment when the need was there, that he just turned things around, start prophesying, start telling him, and start bringing it to God? Are you following me? He didn't go by the feelings. He didn't go, well, wait a minute, you know, I'm tired. Come later on, maybe, you know, 10:30, I'm going to be preaching, praying for you. When it was needed, he was walking the street. He went around doing good, you know. And that means, you know, he was going just around. And the situation happens, and he'll say, no, wait a minute, you know, I need to pray for 50 minutes to get myself charged up. No, the need was there. Raise up and walk, or, you know, see if you are blind, or whatever. Be healed. That's the way it is. Why? Because it's not us. It's the Spirit in us. And because it's the Spirit in us, he has all the power all the time. And religion says that, you know, Jesus had it all in all measure, and we don't. And that's a lie of the enemy that is not the truth. You should see when it's said in the Bible only once. Because it was said by somebody that thought about it the Old Testament way, not the New Testament way. I never see Paul or any other word asking God for power or asking God for a double portion of anointing. If you got the Holy Spirit, the only blockage from the Holy Spirit is your heart that doesn't let the power of God come through. It's us. Our attitude, our mind, our belief system, and all the stuff that blocks God from being able to do what God wants to do, actually, all the time. We have to understand that if God's power, if the Holy Spirit is in us, that means the whole power of God is going to be able to work through us if we let him. Jesus said, raise the dead. Okay? When he raised the dead, he wasn't there praying for 2 days before to charge himself up. He was always prayed up. You know? Okay, let me continue. Otherwise, I never get anywhere. Are you following what I'm saying? See, our experiences that we have spiritual with God and result depends on us, not on God, because God is not holding on anything, not wanting to give to us. He gives to us liberally. That's what the word says. All good things, liberally. That means the more you want, the more you get. But the point is, you have to believe it. You have to be in the position to get it. All right? And so that position I'm talking about makes all the difference. You have to take a position. You have to say, I'm going to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And I'm going to refuse to go in the flesh because I cannot have faith. I cannot get anywhere spiritually. I cannot break through. I cannot know what God wants me to do. I have to know the will of God. That's why you have to renew your mind so that you don't put limits on the Holy One of Israel like the Jews did. We need to understand that. We need to understand what God wants to do. You know, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, and this is coming after a number of things, you know, after taking, you know, let me just read this verse. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Hello? Doesn't say that who is joined to the Lord has just a little bit of the Spirit of God. Or just, not full measure. That says it's one spirit. That means in the spiritual dimension, your spirit plus God's Spirit, that are two spirits, makes one spirit. That's what the scripture says. That means everything that God has, you have. First Peter. He has given all things that we need for life and godliness. What more do you want? So that's the thing. So we have to stop limiting God. We start stop cutting off religion from our ideas and mind and start believing what the Word of God says rather than reading the Word according to what people preach. Because they can get the results. It doesn't matter the results. You have to preach the Word and then the results come. If you go by the result, you never get anywhere because you're always limited. And you can see that very well, no matter who is. So now this is where we are to understand. That is so important. See, John, let's go back a moment here. No, okay, let's keep going. See, we receive, okay, from Jesus, okay, whatever we need. Because he gives us the essence, the important part. He gives us life. The life of God. The Zoe of God. That means, you know, life is more than just being alive. This is a question of being, is power. Is the power of God that manifests itself into life and many other things. Okay. So what we receive, we have to understand, he said that, you know, freely receive, freely give. I mean, if you grasp onto that and you realize that God himself gives himself to you, his power, so that you can receive the things you need. But, you know, that doesn't stop there. You know, that whatever you give, you have, you can give, you should give away too. That means you can give the same, you can have the same ministry, the same power, the same anointing that Jesus had in giving life to people. You can give life to them the same way as you received it. I'm not saying that. You just read the Bible for what it says, not for what people talk about. And that's what it says. Simply says that. Okay. Believe in Jesus and you get everlasting life. That means, you know, no ending, eternal, just as big as God's life. That's what you get. He had God's life, didn't he? And you get his life. And you get it in your spirit. Praise the Lord. So, you know, John 6:47 says very clearly, most assuredly, I mean that, you know, there's no question of doubting it. Okay. I say to you, who believes in me, has everlasting life. Okay. Now, praise the Lord. We have to understand, for us to manifest that, for us to believe those things, for us to be able to operate at the level, we cannot be there wavering back and forth without having a clear position. We had to be settled and established into believing and standing on the position of connecting with God. You had to be focusing unto God, because what you focus on, you give power. If you focus on your emotions, your feeling, your thought, then you're going, well, actually starting with the thought, you start thinking about the wrong thing, you're going to be depressed, you're going to be attacked, you're going to be, so just cut off your thoughts that way. Unless it's a good thought, think it, think about things that the Word of God said, otherwise you just kick it off. Then, you know, if you already made that mistake, then you start having feelings and having sensation and stuff, just they shouldn't be there in the first place, but because you let them in. So you just cut them off too. I mean, at least start cutting off and then you cut off the thought. Go backward. Instead of going, what we had to do is go forward. We had to move on into appropriating with the right thought, with the right feelings, with the right power. They come from God operating inside you. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, but to do that, it just doesn't happen because you want to. It happens because you have been connected, because you have been together with God, because you have been empowered by Him, because it's not your power. You see, this life is not your life. It's His life that has to be manifesting in you. And so unless you are in connection with Him, you are not going to be able to manifest it. You cannot have the power and the faith of God by watching TV. You're going to have lots of problems. You're going to just adjust yourself to the way they think. Now, so let's see. Okay, we saw, you know, some of these things I said already before, but I'm trying to go to more of an application here. Or now, unless you apply the things that you know and you understand the things that you need to understand and you apply them properly, you're not going to get any results. You see, information without application is waste of time. Now, here it says, okay, John chapter 6, verse 50. John 6:50. This is the bread which comes down from heaven. The one may eat it and not die. So that is talking about himself. Okay, and it's, you know, we talked about this plane last week about the bread. The bread is what you eat all the time. It's the food. Instead of using food, you can call it bread, whatever you want to go. But that really, you know, you shall not die if you eat the bread of heaven. That means, you know, that doesn't, you know, if you eat the bread from the, you know, the bread maker, and, you know, you eat it today, and you don't eat it for 50 days, well, it's not going to keep you alive, does it? You need to eat it every day, regularly, in the proper way, and then you're going to have the strength to keep going. But the same thing is the bread from heaven, because, you know, it gives us the strength that is in the bread. You need the strength in the bread to keep your earthly life, animal life, going on. You need spiritual food to go and have your spiritual life continuing and living. So it doesn't do any good if one day, you know, you gulp, you know, hold the Bible that you want, and then you think that you're going to live forever. Yeah, that food, that spiritual food, has to be there all the time to feed your spirit, so that your spirit is going to be connected with the source of the power which is in the bread. And you're going to manifest the power or the life that is in the bread. So unless you stay in the Word there, you know, regularly and heed from it and you assimilate it and you spend time with it, then you're going to lose that energy, that power. The power of God is not going to be in you. It doesn't do any good if one day, you know, you are studying the Bible all the time and the other 7 days of the week you go around, you know, doing all the stupid things that are going to drain from your spiritual life. So the important thing is that we do it regularly. We do it. So that is what is going to make us not die. And he's not talking about dying physically. He's going to be about dying spiritually, because if you don't eat spiritual food, you're going to die spiritually. You're going to backslide, and then you're going to lose everything. And one, you know, just with God, doesn't matter what you do today. With God matters what you do on the long run. What you do all the time, what you do at the end. So you remember the people that were doing nothing, and then they started working at the end. At the end, that they got the same reward that the one that they had at the beginning. So it doesn't make any difference. It's what you do now that counts, and you have to keep doing now the right thing. So you have to, you know, apply yourself and not backslide and not fall back and not lose ground. That means you have to be focused, you have to be settled, and you have not to move, and you are going to keep feeding until, you know, there is enough. And you knew that you are not at the beginning, it's going to be just a tickle, but slowly it's going to grow and grow and grow. And what's going to happen? There is going to be enough that's going to come out of you. And you are going to keep eating, because that's exactly what God wants you to do. You want to give as you have received. And you start giving when you got enough inside, because if you don't, haven't got enough inside, then keep eating. Keep drinking. Keep on, you know, getting stuff inside you that's going to produce the life that you need. Otherwise, you have no life to share with anybody. That's the problem with lots of people. I mean, Jesus said it very clearly. You know, wait in Jerusalem until the power has come upon you. Why did he say that? Why people go run, you know, and go in the foreign field and die there? Because they are not ready yet to fight. They need to get the strength before, and then they can handle the situation instead of being defeated by the enemy that knows how to drain them out. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. He said, my flesh is food indeed, my blood is drink indeed. You know, I don't like the indeed word there, as I said last week. You know, my flesh is real spiritual food, my blood is really spiritual drink. Okay, that's the thing we have to understand. So, you know, and blood essentially, what he's saying here is, you know, this is really talking about discerning the body and the blood of Christ. What they have done for us. The fact that the body of Christ shows us, and you know, both the practical things and the physical things that we need, and the blood of Christ deal with sin and washing away the wrong things, and the wrong thinking and the wrong sins inside us. Okay. And then goes on. Verse 56, John 6:56. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Now, you know, I don't like that translation, because it doesn't reflect what the Greek says. What the Greek says is, who keeps eating my flesh and keeps drinking my blood continually, abiding, you know, is continually abiding in me, and I in him. So you want, you have been talking about the fact that our spirit and God's spirit join together. Well, joins together if we keep doing this. Whenever we do that, you know, if we stay together, connected with God, then he's going to be joined together, and God's spirit is going to be in you. God's power is going to be operating in you. You are going to be working supernaturally. But if you don't, and you prepare only on Sunday, and you do some other things that you know, need to be done because, you know, you are involved in religious activities and you think you're going to get power, you are fooling yourself. It's not going to work. John 8:31 and 32. If you word, you know, dwells, the word dwells in you. And you dwells in the word. What does it mean? You are there all the time. You shall know the truth. How do you know the truth? The Holy Spirit is going to work on the word, and he's going to bring a revelation. And what happens? And you shall be free. You will be set free. Same thing. It's always the same principle are taught over and over and over throughout the whole Bible. And we should learn to see if something is repeated many times, that means it's important for us to follow, because it's going to make all the difference. So, we had to have a spiritual daily connection for physical manifestation that are supernatural. That's pretty straightforward. Then it's going to be in us, and it's going to work in us, it's going to produce supernatural result. Okay. Now, there is a parallel between us and Jesus. Okay. And that's what we had to connect with, what we had to understand. Okay. John chapter 6, verse 57, just come up just after that, you know, saying after you eat, you know, my flesh and drink my blood and so on. It says, and as the living Father sent me, I will, and I live because of the Father, so who feeds on me will live because of me. You see, the parallel is that we are functioning exactly the same way as Jesus functioned. As he, you know, Jesus connected with the Father. He was always connected with the Father. He was always empowered with the Father. He only did what he saw the Father doing. That means, you know, he was watching the Father all the time, at least, you know, mentally and in a way of thinking. So he was all the time watching the Father. And so as a result of that, okay, he had the power of God working in him, manifesting himself into supernatural results. Okay, well, see, he who feeds in me, so we feed in Jesus, we feed on the Word, we feed on what he did, we feed on his way of thinking, the way of reasoning, you know, then it's going to be the same. Who is in me? Okay? Who feeds in me will live. And live, I mean, we'll have eternal life. We'll have the life of God. We'll have the same result that Jesus had, because Jesus had life in him. That's what they're coming from the Father. Okay? Because of him. So we are going to operate the same. We should learn from Jesus to receive supernatural power from God by doing the same thing that he did, because he's going to do, that's what he wants to do. That's what he came to show us. He came not just for us to go to heaven. He came to give us life, which is much more than just to go to heaven. Because that's something that you go is not a place you go. He came to give us something, not to go for us to go someplace. That's a big difference. He came to give us eternal life. Not to get us a ticket for heaven. Okay? That's the bottom line. Because that's what he wants to do. That's what the plan of God is for us. Now, it then goes on, verse 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate manna and they died. He who eats this bread will live forever. So this is really the bottom line. That's the difference between New Testament and Old Testament. Old Testament, they had manna and they said, oh, you know, lots of people say, oh, you know, I would be really inexperienced to have manna falling from it. You have something much better than the manna. You had the bread of life provided for you so that you are not going to die like the people in the Old Testament, but you're going to live forever. I mean, that seems to me a much better deal. Okay? Now, these things, let me show them, because I think we have time to, we should be closing soon. We'd find a place to land here. John 6:59. These things he said to this in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? You see, they were just, didn't get it. Didn't get anything. I mean, the guy was giving them something so wonderful, the only thing they can do is complain. He was something glorious offering them. He said, this is hard work, or whatever. Well, it's your choice. That's what the bottom line is. Their ignorance and blindness was demonstrated by their reaction. Okay. Some people even today cannot understand spiritual things, even if they're born again. You tell them something like that, and they shake their heads. They say, well, that's too much work. Well, it's not work. When you start doing that, you stop working. Adam did not work before he fell. And he looked after the whole garden. Hello? After he fell, he had to start the sweat of his brow and the work that he had to do to get anything accomplished because everything was cursed. That should show us the truth about that. Okay. And so Jesus knew that, heard that, understood what they said, is verse 61. And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? See, Jesus never questioned about putting the finger where the thing needed to be, the right button. Okay, he says, and what then, what they should see, the Son of Man ascend where he was from. See, what do we say about that? You see, the thing is, they just wanted to see, supernatural things. And they are wowed by that. But the point is, it's not what appears. Lots of people, what they do, they are so caught up by the spectacular that they miss the supernatural. They look for the spectacular. And they don't understand anything. And they cannot have the supernatural. Because they miss the boat. They don't have the understanding. They don't have the perception. They cannot grasp how the supernatural comes to pass. And there he was showing, what I'm doing, I know what I'm doing because you're going to see it. I'm going to go up in front of your face. But Jesus never put up a show because they wanted a show. He always refused it. Never. So. Now. That should be a good lesson for us. To understand how to operate and how to move in spiritually to be able to get spiritual result and spiritual impact. It's not by playing formulas and doing things. It's actually connecting with the Father in the Spirit, connecting with the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to change the way we function. Learning to walk the way Jesus walked. That's what he was teaching them. Eat the bread of life. Drink my blood. And you are going to see the power of God working in you, producing supernatural manifestation, because you are not going to walk anymore in the physical only. You are going to walk in the spiritual dimension, and naturally these things are going to happen. And it's not going to be always, a big show, but things are going to manifest that otherwise you cannot do anyway. So, the Word of God has in it and give us eternal life. That means supernatural power. Life of God. All the life that God has available to us. Praise the Lord. You are not going to get that in the flesh. no matter how much you are jumping around, how much you are dancing around, how much, you know, music you are playing, or how much all these other things, it's not going to do it. The only way is to do what Jesus did. He never did all this stuff. He said in 63, John 6:63, he just come after, you see, all connected together. It just, this is one teaching that Jesus gave to his disciple. You know, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. John 3:3, you know, 3:6, you know, was born of the Spirit, the Spirit was born of the flesh, is flesh. Jesus is saying the same thing again here. The word that I speak to you, they are Spirit and they are life. Praise the Lord. And this is really what the word I'm giving to you today too. If you grasp on that and you start applying that without religion in it, but just doing exactly that and receiving from the word, you are going to see the supernatural happening to you, all around you, and you are doing no effort whatsoever. You are not going to work for it. Because you are in it. You are walking supernaturally. All right. I think I'm going to close with that. Thank you, Jesus. I think we should pray. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can receive from you things beyond even our imagination. More than we can think or dream. Because you made possible for us to be in heavenly places, even at this time, even now, seated with you at the right hand of the Father. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your grace, your love. Dear Lord, we may learn to, Lord, receive all those things, that we may have enough, not just for ourselves, but to give to others. That we may not be taking a position based on the flesh, on our senses, on our feelings, on our thought, and our whatever, but that the Word may guide us, the Spirit may dwell in us, your power, your life may be present in our life, Lord, and we may be walking on earth, representing Jesus, being his body down on earth now. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.